If you feel encouraged, loved a little, you're allowed to raise your hand. The appears, but if you feel encouraged, great. Okay, it's awesome seeing so many new faces. It's been an amazing start already. So let's pray quickly. I just want to thank you, Jesus, that you're with us, God, and you want to speak to us. Not only do you want to speak to us, but you want to reveal something of who you are to us, God. And we just open ourselves up. We open ourselves up to for heaven to come down and rest in our hearts, Lord. Like the word came, we want to drink from you, from your fullness. Amen. I thought of maybe just sharing this little bit before I start the sermon. I want to make a statement, and if you don't agree, then no, you're not allowed to do that. I want you to pursue this, because I feel tonight is maybe going to introduce you to steps to getting there. This is a statement. I love my life. I love what I'm doing. I'm living the dream God has for me. Who of you want to say those words about your life? Again, I know some of you aren't able to say those words because you haven't stepped into God's plan. Whether it's maybe thinking too little about yourself, or maybe not because of sin, or maybe just because you haven't considered Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But there's a place where you can get to, where you can stand in front of people and say, I love my life. And it's not a hedonistic thing that there's so much pleasure in my life. I've been living this life for quite a while now. And I just love what God's doing in my life. I love my family. I love being in this church. I love being in George. I love being surrounded by amazing people. I just love it. On Saturday, we had Eva's little birthday. She invited a whole class to this birthday. And I was just looking at my daughter enjoying her friends, enjoying this birthday party. And I felt like that is how I'm feeling. Not on my birthday, but every day of my life. And I'm honest when I say that. And some of you feel, maybe one day you'll get there, or if you had this experience, that's this euphoric experience where it was amazing and then suddenly it died away. Or maybe you've come to know Jesus and God spoke to you, or you had an encounter with Jesus, but then suddenly it just died away. And God's telling you there's a consistency that He wants to give you in terms of life. Abundance in life. Okay, so tonight I'm going to share some things that I feel is going to lead you to this abundant life. To be able to stand in front of your, whether it's your classmates or your business colleagues or your family, and tell your mom and your dad, look them straight in the eye at a Christmas dinner and say, Dad, Mom, I love what I'm doing. God is so faithful my life. Let's turn to Acts 19. Okay, great. So tonight I want to share on, because it's actually the last Sunday of the Let's Go theme. Luke said last week was the last Sunday because he just wanted the last words, but then I told him in the week, hey, there's still another Sunday this month. Where's Luke now? Luke, hey. So let's, before we read there, okay, so this is Paul, and he's on a missionary journey, and he arrives at this city. in Ephesus, and this is what he found. So let's read from verse 1. I'm going to read from the NIV. Up there is the ESV, so you can follow whichever translation you want to follow. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. So this is sort of the model that Paul is following whenever he reaches a new group of people. And one of the things that Luke and I and the leaders of this church feel really strongly about is that we want to raise up people that can go to different groups of people, unbelievers or religious people, even different from different religions, and they must be able to turn that situation, those lives around from darkness to the power of God, like that vision statement says. So we want to equip you to, like Paul, go into an environment that's probably hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn it around. As most of you have been in a sport team somewhere down the line. You maybe played netball for the C team, or maybe you were involved in hockey or rugby. You're somewhere down the line, you're involved in a team sport. And usually what the coach would do, if he was a good coach, he would give you a game plan. He would instruct you to do these specific things on the field, and everybody would know this is the way that we should go. And a game plan, it creates unity. But it also, it's something that they have figured out in terms of what will really work best against the specific opposition. Like, Paul is showing us a game plan, a model to follow that will really work against the enemy. And all of you are called here to destroy the works of the enemy. All of you here are called to give the devil a hard time in George. And all of you actually have the authority to do that. Some of you are feeling, no, man, I don't know Jesus that well. I'll leave it for the pastors to do that. Now, all of you are called for that. And so, what is Paul doing? What is his practical game plan? Sometimes we are so up in the air that we don't get to the practical things. We are all about, hey, this verse means this to me, and this song really spoke to my heart, but what is the practical outflow of all of that? So we're going to look at that. So what happens here, Paul arrives, and it says that he arrived and he found a couple of disciples. Say disciples. So they, if you're a disciple, then you've already met Jesus. You already know Jesus. And if you read in Acts 18, you will see that there was another guy called Apollos. And he arrived at Ephesus, and he started teaching the people about Jesus. He was a very eloquent speaker, and he knew the word very well, but he didn't know about the Holy Spirit. So Paul is establishing, hey, what is already in this guy's life? And some of you are going to go to your parents, or you're going to go to your school, or you're going to do your business colleagues, and you need to establish what did God already do in their lives? What foundation is already laid? So Paul's saying, hey, what's happening? Tell me. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Because some of us, I have the full gospel. Delete everything that you've received from anyone before and listen to me. No, that's not how Paul does it. Whenever you meet somebody, try and establish what God has already done in their lives. Most of you have not, you weren't here when you got when you were 3 years old in this church. Most of you came through a couple of denominations, and maybe you ended up here because somebody invited you, or you just like Cassidy because he's handsome and you want to sit with him in church. There's some reason for you ending up here, but you come with a history with God. And one of the things that we really want to do is we want to show you how God has already been involved in your life all your life. So my dad's a Dominie, my grandfather's a Dominie, I have so many missionaries in my lineage, it's crazy. So at the beginning when I started going to Shofar in Stellenbosch and I found out about the Holy Spirit, I was like, why didn't these guys tell me about the Holy Spirit? Why didn't my dad tell me about the Holy Spirit? I actually went back and I was mad at my dad and said, Dad, why didn't you tell us about speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because I love those things. Why didn't you tell? And my dad said, hey, I believe them, and I just didn't think that, I wasn't brought up that way. But now looking back, I know that they established something in my life that is amazing. And I love my dad for it. Some of you must go back and you must just love your dad and your mother's reading to you stories at bedtime. Those Noach in the Ark, David and Goliath, all of those. Those are good things. So that's the first thing you do. You establish where this person is at. What has God been doing in his life? The second one that Paul's doing, he asks them about the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Because is Jesus still walking on the earth in human form? No. So when Jesus went up into heaven, what happened? He gave us the Holy Spirit. Who was the power behind Jesus' ministry? The Holy Spirit. He only started his ministry when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized, he came out of the water, and the Holy Spirit came on him and rested upon him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he did many, many miracles. So the second thing that you want to do is you want to see if these people have a history with Jesus, they have a history with God. But you want to establish if they have been filled with the Holy Spirit, if they know the Spirit. That's why I loved what Jeannie did tonight. She took us into the song and then just stayed a little longer in that one song. And we just stayed there. And then Kanye gave the word about drinking. That's all about actually inviting people into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is not walking here in physical human form, you understand? But he's here in spirit form. All of that is just following what Paul is saying. Hey guys, let us introduce you to a deeper understanding of who God is. Because God is spirit and he's here with us. And he wants to fill you. And he wants to establish something in your life. And then the third thing that he does is he talks to them about baptism, and they say they've only been baptized in the baptism of John. Now, John was this great guy, probably with dreadlocks, walking around the desert, calling people to repentance. And the Bible says he was a forerunner for Jesus, he was a prophet, he was the one preparing the way for Jesus. And they said, yes, we've heard of him and we've been baptized in his baptism. But we haven't been water baptized in the baptism of Jesus. So Paul establishes that they have not been baptized in water. And it's these very practical things that we should look at and we should follow. And then he takes them through the waters of baptism and he baptizes them. Some of us, we take years and years speaking to people about Jesus and about this verse, and we send them all these cute little pictures with amazing sayings about this preacher and that preacher. But all Paul did is, hey guys, are you disciples? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Hey, have you been baptized in water in Jesus? Do you know how powerful that is? That is the model that Jesus gave us, he got baptized and just baptized them. And then we see in verse 6, Paul does the following. He gets awkward. He's like, I want to put my hand on these people. And he lay hands on these people, and what happens? There's a demonstration of the Spirit. It says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in what? Tongues and prophesying. I love the simplicity of the gospel. I love that it's so practical. And here's an advertisement break quickly. We're going to do exactly this on Friday at Encounter One. If you can't make the Saturday, you can just only come for the Friday. We're going to teach you about Jesus. We're going to teach you about the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray for you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you don't receive it tonight spontaneously, because we're going to trust for that also to happen. But you need more understanding of this, because it's not only about you. God gives you something so that you can give it away. I loved what I saw with these guys that I took to Sri Lanka. Cassidy was with them, handsome Cassidy. He was one of the guys. And Thomas and Paula and Leon there at the back. That they've received something here in George, but they didn't know how much they received. They only realized how much they received when they went over to Sri Lanka and started praying for people. The first night we were like, man, hey, we pray for people and stuff happened. And then we were almost scared it's going to go away. And then on Sunday, we prayed for more people, and Thomas was actually preaching in the church, and a guy came afterwards, one of the people in the church, and he said, hey, this was an amazing, glorious experience with Thomas preaching. And he was all by himself. He's never preached a sermon in his life in a church, but he ran the service. But this guy whispered and said, hey, but I just know it wasn't him. It was something else. What? He received something in George, and he took it to Sri Lanka. Some of you are going to receive something, and you're just going to take it to your family. You're just going to take it to your business. You're going to take it to your school, to your friend. And most of you have already received something, but you haven't experienced, or you don't know how much you've received because you haven't started giving it away. And we're going to talk about that in Encounter One a lot more in detail, because we don't have much time. We have 2.5-3 hours on Friday night. And we're going to pray for people to pray in tongues. And on Saturday, we're going to baptize people. So this is the basics, people. You go to your friend. You establish who Jesus is in their lives, what God has done in their lives. You tell him, hey, man, I can pray for you. You lay hands on them. You pray for them for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of you feel like, I don't even have the Holy Spirit. You just pray for him anyway. Just pray for him for the Holy Spirit. Or you pray together. Say, Holy Spirit, we can't pray in that funny language. We've never heard of your voice. Or we can't do that, what Jeannie does in worship. But I just know that you are here. And you say in your Bible, this is what we should do. So we're going to try it. That's how most of my amazing encounters anyway happen. Hey, God, it says it's here in the Bible. I'm just going to go for it. Hey, is there a friend crazy enough to join me in this journey? Yes, there's a couple of them. And there's a bunch of them in this church. I want to see where grade eights, they don't come together on a Saturday to see if they can flunk their parents and sneak out and do some other stuff. But they come together and just worship. And their parents rock open their doors and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing? Are you crazy? Let's call the police. You are worshiping. What's happening? There's definitely some weird thing. Luke has a story. He his friends that he used to do dacha with thought he was on stronger drugs when he came to Jesus. Because Jesus is stronger than all of that. It's so basic. And I just want to maybe add something on the Holy Spirit and water baptism. So we live in this time, and even in some churches, and people have accused me a lot of this, is that, hey, Amo, people need to be completely mature before they can receive the Holy Spirit. They need to have the character of God before they can receive the gift of God. And that's exactly what I tell them. It's a gift. It's not a reward for a holy life. And if you need character, go and read Galatians 5. It talks of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of amazing armor or a holy life. So some of you must start asking, if you don't have character but you have the Holy Spirit, you must just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I want you to reveal your fruit in my life. And that is a big problem. I understand that. Charismatic people, they can pray in tongues, but they sleep around and they do awful stuff, or they can't do their business in excellence, but they still put the bumper sticker on there, by Christ I can do all things. Through Christ I can do all things. Philippians 4:13. I understand that some of this hypocrisy in that, but if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to move through you, then you'll have the fruits of the Spirit, and that means that you are full of character, that you are moral. And the same with water baptism. Some of you are sitting here, you are waiting for a better day to get baptized. We can baptize you tonight. Or we can baptize you whenever, if you're still in school, or just talk to your parents before you do that. I would suggest that. But you don't have to be this perfect Christian to get baptized. There's actually a lot of deliverance that will happen through that process of baptism. Because baptism actually establishes your identity in the Spirit. It says that you are dead to sin and you are alive to God. It's amazing. So let's read on. Acts 19. We love reading the Bible in this church. Thank you for bringing your Bible. And Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. Arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. So Paul says, hey, this is what I'm doing. I establish through Jesus, get them filled with the Holy Spirit, get them baptized, and then I take them along where I argue about the Scriptures through the Word, who Jesus is, and I show them the way, even intellectually. So some of you heard the promo, and Greta is doing a great job at just facilitating this whole thing with the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry. People are here in George. So You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get baptized, and then you need to get into the Word, because the Holy Spirit actually wrote the Word so that you can voice what you believe. Not only say, hey, I had the most amazing experience, and that's all you can say. But you need to actually equip yourself in the Word. That's why we have those apologetic guys that's going to teach you how to handle these difficult questions. That's why we have Bible school. That's why you have a Bible, you don't study it at home. But if you are hungry for the Holy Spirit, if you're hungry for impact, you should follow this model. Just get yourself equipped. Be as hungry for whatever other thing you are than for God. And let's throw in two more scriptures, two more verses, just because these verses are just so cool. Verse 11 and 12. Listen to what. So if we're going to really follow what God has for us, and if we're going to understand that God wants to use us, then this is what's going to happen. Verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Let's say that. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Again, now put your name in Paul's name, except if your name is Paul. You can just do the same thing. So, let's say this. God did extraordinary miracles through Amor. And verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Those are cool stuff. That must be quite an adventure. Like, we just had somebody that was really close to a couple of people in our church, and this young lady, she passed away with cancer last week, and it just broke my heart. It broke my heart that we as a church are not at that place where we see cancer healed often. We have a few testimonies of people, yes, through medical help they've been healed, but we don't see cancer healed often. And some of you are sitting here and you know that a parent or a grandmother is going through a sterile process of having to inject literally poison into their veins to destroy the cancer in their bodies. But what if we really pursue what God has for us and we have a solution for those people? What if the most love that we can show, the love that we can show these people, includes a miracle? What if you can walk to a person that has nothing, that's sitting in a wheelchair, he can't work, and you give them the dignity of life by just pulling him out of the wheelchair and he runs off? What if? And it's even more than that. These extraordinary miracles. It's like somebody taking a chair that you sat on and taking it to the hospital and allow every person that's sick to sit on that chair, and that chair, just through the presence that you left on that chair, just heals people. That's the kind of thing that God wants to do in our lives. Nothing is impossible, people. Nothing. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to go through this very quickly, and then you need to, in your mind, sign yourself up for encounter one and encounter two. You can do one, you don't have to do two, but it's best if you do one and two together, Friday and Saturday. And then we're going to pray for people and worship a little, because we need to get to this. We need to get to this. Amen. Okay. So first thing you do is you establish what Jesus has already done in their lives, and you build on that. The second thing is, you ask them about the Holy Spirit, and you pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that you need to force on somebody. You don't go like that. You say, hey, I pray with you, and let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you and fill you. And you just keep on doing that. And it's not wrong to pray for it every day. If you have a friend, if you're married, just pray with them every day for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because you need to be constantly full with the presence of God. Then the third thing is, you take them through the scriptures about water baptism. Go to Romans 6 and tell them, hey, you don't have to be perfect to get baptized. You know Jesus, if you haven't been baptized, get baptized now. Let's go to what Diepia did with the person in the hospital. They just baptized the guy in the bathtub in the hospital. That's possible. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to do His work, to bring, whether it's tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's a miracle, whether it's just touching them with their love. And then from there, you're like, God, I want to know more. I want to be like Paul, that can not only demonstrate the power of God, but also want to argue the Scriptures. I want to have an understanding of who Jesus is. I want to take people through the Word. I want to disciple them so their foundation is strong. So when people come with these difficult questions, they have an answer. Amen. Let's stand.